Hello, welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. We're sitting in the same room again.
Not quite the same room. What? He lured me into a different room.
Yeah, we're in the hotel, we're having a chat with a furry mic in front of us. There's a dog in the hotel. We're breaking all kinds of rules. Achilles is here.
Snack him in there.
How you doing, all right?
I'm good, good. So what? How did your race go and stuff? Tell me what happened.
It was good. It was really hot. It was down in the Alps in southern Germany, and it was it's called Garmisch-Partenkirchen or whatever. And we went there on Friday, and we lounged by the lake all day on Saturday, and it was amazing. And this race was—it's basically you run up this one of these three mountains next to Zugspitze, which is the biggest mountain in Germany, and it's the climbing the total top of the mountain you get to is 2,050 meters. And you run, I think you climb in 12K, you climb 1,300 metres of climbing. So it's pretty nuts climbing. Like, imagine, like, I think it's like 12% climb the whole average. Whoop, there goes the dog. So it was really good. Like, it was so hot. I think it was 29 degrees at 10 a.m. in the morning where I started. And it doesn't get any hotter the higher you go. Like, usually you'd think in a mountain, well, I thought, the higher you went, the cooler it went. And there was like snow at the top, but it just got hotter and hotter. And the first 5K, my coach Martin Cox, who's helped me with this mountain running challenge, he said to me, basically, because you're not very good at mountains, or you don't know if you're good at very mountains because you haven't done it yet, you've got to go out there and just push, and you've got to get a lead.
So I went like kamikaze, yeah?
I went kamikaze in 30 degree heat. So he said within reason, obviously, he doesn't want me to die. But I went out for the first 5K, pushed hard. And I got to about 5K, and my calculations were wrong, because it said you're at 1,100 feet. And I thought, oh my God, I've done 1,000 metres in 5K. This is easy. I'm going to be doing this no trouble. So that's as steep as it's going to get. But I didn't realise that we started at 700 metres. So basically, I'd only done 300 metres, and we had another, I don't know, 700 to go in the next 6K. So that was really hard. There were some bits, Jesus, they were so steep. And because the higher you got, you started in forests and you got more and more out and exposed in the open. So it's like really bloody hot at the top.
And obviously you was up front, so it weren't crowded, because was it narrow, like paths going up and stuff?
Yeah, all the way it is paths. But there's only about 200 people in the field, and all the paths are really runnable. So like, if you can run, if you could get going, you could run it quick. But it was just, there was never really any downhill, so you were just uphill the entire way, more or less, which is good. It's really weird, like, racing. Like Martin said to me, the tactic, like, it's a hard skill, but like Martin, it's just about like maintaining like a rhythm. And so I just thought, every time I come to a hill, I just thought, right, just keep going and just keep maintaining, just keeping your legs turning over.
Yeah, and that
was really good, because then at least you were focused on just keeping moving up the hills. And there was one moment when I think it was about 11K, so only about half a K to go, I think, and that was the only moment I thought, oh shit, I'm going to have to stop now, because my legs were just so heavy, because it was the steepest bit of the course. And I just stopped, and I had a quick word to myself, and I said, God, I shouted, come on! And then I just got going again and ran the rest. But yeah, it was really good. I'm going to do it again. I'm definitely going to do it again.
You've got your mojo.
I've got my mojo back, yeah. And I'm going to race in, I think, in Switzerland at the end of July, two weeks.
So you're going to sort of target mountain running stuff now, sort of thing?
I reckon. Build up. I reckon.
Not big boy stuff,
no. I mean, and it's so good, look, because you run up these massive big hills, and you look across, and the views like are just nuts. It's just, they're amazing views, and the courses are amazing, and everyone's like really friendly afterwards and stuff. And it did make me think, though, like, you know, these trail runners, these guys that go for a jog around the hills for a few hours, it would be quite fun to do that sort of thing, taking these photos and stuff like all these guys do. But yeah,
so you have to wear your GoPro.
Yeah, I have to wear my GoPro. I have to get into YouTube. Yeah, but it was really good. And Germany, I highly recommend that bit. It's really nice. Food's pretty meaty. Like, it's just basically meat and gravy all the time.
Stodge.
Yeah. I think for pudding I had a bit of bread in custard. That was the extent.
That's actually quite nice. It sounds awful, but it's actually really nice. It's like fruit bread, isn't it?
I managed to eat about half.
And but it comes like, in a big like stodge. You go,
it comes like in a big loaf.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, what the hell is this? But I ate half of it and thought, Jesus, I can't eat anymore.
I only ate half a loaf. Only a couple of slices.
But it was good. But you've been up, you've been...
So I've got some gossip on The Watford BMC.
Ah, the Watford Diamond League.
Whoa, the Diamond League. Yeah, they've upgraded. They've upgraded. So the men's 800, because the youngsters, Max Burgin and Ben Patterson, have been doing so well, all the top 800 metre guys decided we need to run a time. So they all turn up, which is good, obviously, for local domestic stuff.
Yeah. You've got to race each other because sometimes people ignore, like they try
and avoid each other on a circuit. So it's good they were all there. So you had Langford, Giles, Grice, Waitman. So but the gossip, it was Waitman. They're all doing strides on the back straight.
Yeah,
and 5K was going on, and the officials were getting shirty because he didn't want them to run in lane one.
Yeah.
And he must have said something to Langford. Langford said something back. And then my friend sent me a picture, and Langford's got this official by the scruff of his neck. And he's like, he's got his arm out like he's going to punch him, but he didn't. But so there was like some altercation there.
Yeah.
And then Langford stormed off, assuming he's going to get disqualified.
Yeah.
Then they're starting the race. They're calling out their names. Then they call Langford's number. He sprints across 200. To come down to the start line. As soon as he gets there, the gun goes.
What?
So that's like well dodged, because obviously everything's supposed to be settled, but obviously they ran the race. And I was thinking, oh, but did he get DQ'd? And he didn't.
He must have run 146, didn't he?
He did 146.7, but the winning time was Wakeman in 145.5.
Whoa.
Which still isn't faster than the under-20s.
Jesus.
Which is like crazy... proves you how fast like the youngsters are going.
Yeah, but he's not an 800 metre runner, is he?
He's more 15 specialist, so yeah, that's fine. But that jib sort of at the proper 800 metre guys, you've got blooming whippersnappers running a second quicker than them. And they're like 5 years older. They do all the pro training, you know, live virtual altitude every 3 months or whatever. You got 2 17-year-olds that go into school picking bogeys, flicking them at teachers.
You've got to wrap your game, boys.
But
for Jake, he has been out for a year, and he's just come back with a machine injury.
Yeah.
Got to give him credit when it's due. And who else? There's some other big runners. Butchart did Butchart do the 1500 meters? I think he won it. I think he won it in 3:38. And then he paced the 5K. So he was in that 5K. So when
maybe it was Butchart's fault then.
Let's blame him. That's fine. That's cool.
But the weather was obviously Saturday. The weather was good. Hot, yeah. So
yeah. And I think as well, there in the women's 800 meters. Didn't Sarah McDonald? She ran 2:00 or something. She ran really quick, which is like
that's good.
That's Diamond League time, isn't it?
Yeah.
So who needs Diamond League?
Who just needs the official Diamond League?
Go down Watford.
And we can have the DIY Diamond League.
But there was a Diamond League in America. Where is it? It's the Prefontaine Classic. Where is that held?
Is
it in Yeah. And did you see the races?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man. There was the best one was probably the women's 3K. She said...
Flat, yeah?
Yeah. It was Sifan Hassan, you know, the Dutch girl.
Yeah.
She ran... It was phrased in a weird way, but it was... The Chinese, the non-Chinese world record, which you know what they're getting
at. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so world record without the Chinese records. She ran 8:18, right? But the most impressive thing was, the girl that was in second was this girl called Costa Klosshalfen.
Okay.
German girl. And she's I've seen her in a few races. I think she just lost to Laura Muir in the indoors at 15, maybe. And she was amazing. She came home in second, and there was a third was a lady from Ethiopia, and fourth was the barber. So it was an amazing race. They all ran like under, I think there was like eight women under 8:43. And Laura Whiteman was fifth. She ran a PB. She ran 8:26, which is pretty impressive.
That's good.
Semenya's back. She won. Did you see that?
Semenya.
Semenya is back.
The warrior.
She won. Yeah. And I think those races, that the second and third were two American girls, one of which is AJ Wilson, but they weren't that much faster than that Sarah McDonald race in Watford. I think they're about 2:00. I think Semenya went a bit faster.
There's more money at these ones.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. They're getting paid more. And then the other thing that was quite interesting was the men's 2 mile race, which was won by Joshua Cheptegei. The guy from Uganda, but the guy that was second is my favourite track runner in the world. Do you know Paul Chelimo?
I know Chelimo.
You got to follow his Twitter account, but he was amazing. He was second. He left it real late, but he just came back. But there was one moment, I think there was after 800 metres, or after like, I think it was after just after halfway, that Salama Barega guy from Ethiopia, he ran a 2 minute 800. Nuts, trying to break the third. That's amazing. He still didn't win though. He was third. Yeah. But that was a good race. So that was quite good. That was over there. But we have got some ultra running news too.
Whoop.
There was
wait a minute, let me just put my catnap on.
We had two former interviewees had amazing races. So do you remember Beth Pascal a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah.
She's also coached by Martin Cox. She was fourth in the Western States. And Tom Evans, who we interviewed a while back, he was third. So those two guys, probably the most impressive performances this year, ultra-running-wise, from Brits. That's amazing, that race. Western States is one of the biggest.
I think the long distance stuff is getting more popular now because obviously marathons getting more popular again.
Yeah.
So people are just like going up again, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And that race, the women's race, was amazing, apparently. There was two women, Claire Gallagher and Brittany Pearson, who were actually racing. A 100-mile race, they were actually racing until the last few K. It was amazing. And Jim Walmsley, am I presenting that right? He won the men's race in a course record. One thing I did notice, which sent a bit of a shiver down my spine, is there was a race out in Chamonix, the Mont Blanc Vertical Kilometre. Have you heard these races? Basically, you try and gain a kilometre.
That's what Ray from Reagan did, I think.
Yeah. did he survive?
He finished.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, he finished.
Yeah, he finished.
Yeah, he didn't enjoy it.
So that must be, that's up your street.
That's up my street. But the worst thing about it is, so I'm going to try and do the British trial in September. And what I need is for me to qualify for the British team, I need nobody else to do it.
Right. Well, that's not a good start.
That's not a good start. And I know there's a couple of guys. Robbie Simpson's always great. And I know that Andrew Douglas is on really good form. Jacob Adkin, he won the trial. I know Max Nichols, he's in good shape. And I've just seen that Joe Morwood, who is the boyfriend of Steph Toole, you know, the guy we dissed holding hands for a mile and breaking the world record. He's running really well, and he used to be a mountain runner, and I think he's coming back to the mountain. So he was second behind Jacob Adkin on that virtual kilometre at Chamonix. So I just don't want him to do it. Don't want him to take my place.
How's the qualifying system work?
I think it's first four in a race in September, end of September.
And so, then what about, is there like selective spots as well? Is it first four plus two selectors can
be? I thought it used to be first six or first two and then they pick the remaining four, but it would have been at the trial, right? But I think it's down to four now. And I know Joe Morwood at the moment is in better form than me, so yeah.
Can just train and see. But like you said, obviously, at the moment, just keeping it lower key.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, trials would be if you can get into good shape.
We'll see, yeah. And I'm loving Europe. I don't know how you could vote Brexit with all these lovely European races you can go and do. What were you doing? Anyway. But we should talk mainly about... Well, I want to know what's been going on with your bus stories. Anything happening?
I got this crazy story. So the X68, always a problem on the X68. No wonder the drivers hate doing it.
Yeah.
So I finish at West Croydon and then they give you 25 minutes to get from West Croydon to Camberwell.
Yeah.
At rush hour.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm trying to speed back. But, you know, like, within reason. And then I'm literally 5 minutes from the garage and I'm turning down a side road and a police car in front of me driving bare slow.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm getting frustrated, but I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's a cyclist in front because it's, like a police van.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, if it's a cyclist, obviously you can't overtake. So, okay, be patient. And then we're going down the whole road. Then he turns into a main road.
Yeah.
And he's still going 5 miles an hour. And I was like, oh, no, you didn't. Because I was like, there's no cyclists up there.
Yeah.
So I started flashing him.
Yeah.
And then he went even slower. Really? I was like, what? So I gave him a little toot. I went, nope. And he put his brakes on and he got out. Right? And there was loads of police all in the van. And the driver got out. And he came up to my window. And I opened my window and I was like, yeah? He goes, we're looking for someone that's holding a knife. I was thinking... Yeah, so? He says, so stop flashing me and being aggressive. I was thinking, you're driving 5 miles an hour on a main road. I said, that's dangerous.
You said it to him?
Yeah. And he says, someone holding a knife is dangerous. I was thinking, you ain't going to find him. He ain't waving it around, is he? And then when he got back in the car, all the police are like, I am you up and stuff. And I'm just like grinning at him. Like, yeah. And then what made it worse, they turned down the side road I needed to get into the garage. So I was like, oh, I can't believe this.
So they didn't find the man with the knife. You didn't get your 25-minute bus.
They wasted 5 minutes of my life.
Police in the streets. There should be better things to do than
that. Speeding around so the sirens not scooping around like blimmin' perverts.
Speaking of London policing, well, not really. This is a bad league. But anyway, this weekend, we've been talking about it for a while now. It's the night of the 10,000 metre PBs.
Right, is there police there?
Probably. There'll be some.
I might not be there.
Jermaine will be there. Well, he's not a policeman. My mate's a policeman. He might be there. So there's the link. But it's on Saturday night, starting from, I think, about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock is there's some youth races. But maybe even 3 o'clock is the first race for the main event. And we're going to be there. We're going to be trying to interview people when we're up there. But there's loads of exciting stuff going on. If you are based in the London area, you need to come. It's really great.
You need to come.
It's about 8 to 10. I think it's 9 races, rather, of 25-lap action. There's beers. You can stand in lane free. You can almost touch the competitors you go around. Don't touch them, though. That's not what we want. If you can't, there is some big news in the fact that it will be shown on the BBC. There'll be a live feed. I don't know if it's on the red button, but you should get on to the BBC Sport website and check it out. So if you're not in London, you can still watch it, and it'll be fantastic. There's also one thing that's been announced. I don't know if you heard about this, but they're going to try and put... They've got approval to have an LED light that goes all the way around the inside of the track.
Oh, for pacing?
Yeah.
Is that legal?
I don't know, but they've got it.
Well, maybe if it's a time trial rather than... It wouldn't count as a record if they got the record.
Okay.
Maybe that was the ruling. Okay.
But they had it in Hengelo in the Netherlands, apparently. And they're going to do it now. So I don't know if Euro Athletics have agreed that it's fine for records.
Maybe they're trying to keep the... you know, to stand it up because they can't get pacemakers all the time, especially for the longer events.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe it is a legal thing. But anyway, they're going to do it. So we can go and see that. And you can see the qualifying for Doha
proper
going
disco,
around the
inside. Disco.
And the women's and men's races, they're going to be when it's kind of in twilight. So it's about 9 o'clock, those races. So you'll be able to properly see this LED light running.
I remember I went last year, super hot day, and then the sun went down and it was freezing. Yeah. So if you come, bring a jacket.
And it's incredible. It's going to, if you look through the start list, which I've been doing a bit earlier, down to the men's D race.
It's all sub 30.
It's potential sub 30, which is incredible.
That's good.
That is really strong for an event anywhere on the globe. I'd imagine that's pretty strong.
Yeah,
pretty strong performance.
Unless it's the Manchester 10K that's short.
But we thought it would be interesting for us. We've got an interview with probably the favourite for the men's race. We've got an interview with Richard Ringer. So we'll put him on a minute from Germany. He's last year's winner. He won last year in 27:36. And I thought what we could do to get a bit of interest, and you can join in at home with this prediction contest, is you're going to try and predict...
The winner or the winning time?
Winning time, and let's go for nation.
But the world standard is 27:40.
Yeah, okay. So they've got to run, they're looking to run around that time. So last year, I think only a couple of guys got that time. Maybe even... Did the British guys get that? I can't remember.
Yeah,
you know.
Alex Shee qualified.
Okay.
And I think Thompson and...
Vernon might have done too.
Had a dust up, and they both run the time, but it's come down to placing, I think.
Okay. So this year, you never know, we could get some British guys going underneath. We've got to pick winning time, and let's just say the nation from which they come from, the winner. All right. So we'll start with the women first, because as you know,
always
ladies first. I had a look through earlier, looked at the fastest times. The few interesting ones.
What is the women's qualifying?
The women's qualifying time is 31:50. That's the A standard. The B standard is 32:15. So the girls are looking to run that fast. I've had a look through who I thought might be potential winners. The fastest times are Jessica Augusto and Dolce Felix. But they've been around for a long time. I think they're not really in that kind of form. I haven't seen those guys run well for a while. But they've run 31:19.
Is that season's best or just PB?
That's PB.
Okay.
Last year's winner, Salah Pater, she's Kenyan, but she runs for Israel. She ran in 31:33.
Fake Kenyan. Yeah.
Fake Israeli. She is probably the favourite. She ran the Prague Marathon in 2:19 recently. So she is basically one of the top runners in the world.
She might be tired from the marathon.
Might be tired. Prague probably would have been around April time. So she might be tired, but those are the favourites. Looked at from ever the interesting people, in terms of a British perspective, we've got Ailish McColgan.
Yep. Yeah.
She's only run 32 something for her, but obviously she hasn't done that many because she's a 5K 1500 meter runner. We've got Jip Vastenburg from Holland. I've got to bring out the Dutch. Interesting thing about her is she trains with the New Balance group in Manchester.
Okay.
So she's run 31:56. We get Alice Wright, who's on the same time, a former interview on the show. She's run 31.56. We've got Steph Twell, 31.55. She's always a good competitor. And Fionnuala McCormack, everyone's favourite Irish lady. I think she's run even faster. So she's actually one of the faster women in the field. And they're the interesting ones I picked out. So
I'm going to go for Eilish.
You're going to go for Eilish to win?
For first Brit.
Yeah,
first Brit.
So our categories to prediction are first Brit, fastest time, closest rank, and the nation from which the winner comes from.
So you said it was 31.50.
31.50 is the qualifying time. 31.33 is last year's winner's time.
So I reckon...
So you're going to go for Eilish to win?
No, Eilish for first Brit.
First Brit, yeah.
I'm going for... Israeli Kenyan for the win.
Yeah, well, Petter. Right, okay.
And then let's say 31.40.
31.40 for the win.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So basically, you've chosen the one person I would have chose. So I'm going to try and find out.
I had to get in early, you know. Damn. Jeez, I'm only 1-0 down. So that's the last round.
I'm thinking I may go for Schlumpf. Fabiana Schlumpf from Switzerland. She is the European 3000 meter steeplechase silver medalist.
She'll be tough.
She'll be tough. And I'm going to go for her only because I can't have Salipeter. And I'm going to guess she's going to win in 31.
Or the winning time, not.
Yeah. Oh, the winning time will be 31. 37.
Look at you trying to outshank me on a lower order finish, you know. Yeah. Jeez.
And in terms of the first Brit, I'm going to go for Charlotte Arter.
Okay. And then men's? Mine.
Men's, well, fastest man in the field. One of our Brits is up there. The fastest time, as far as I can see, is Ali Kaya. Again, a Kenyan running for Turkey. Different nation this time. He's run 27-24. Don't think he's run that for a long time. Amudin, who was second last year, Richard Ringer, he was 27.36, so he's up there with the fastest. I picked out a couple of interesting ones. I picked out on my notes here, Sondra Moen. Do you know him? He ran 2.05, 2.06, maybe for European in Fukuyama about 3 years ago. He's coached by Canova, the Italian-Kenyan
coach.
So he's quite interesting. He hasn't done anything since then. Then we've got Kripa. You know Kripa?
Is that the 1500 runner?
He's a strange fella. He's from Italy, but I think he may be either Eritrean or... I'm not exactly sure where he's from, so I better not say. But he's he's really good. He's really talented fella, and he's run some really quick time 5K this summer. He's a potential threat. Mayuchi has been linked on a couple of tweets, but I think Mayuchi has served a few drugs bans, and let's leave that where it is. And a guy who I've actually raced against and lost to, Solomon from Sweden. He's always a good one. I think he might be from Eritrea too, but I can't be sure about that. So that's our guys. So I forgot to say, the
Brits. What about
fastest
the Brits?
Man is also one of them. Chris Thompson's up there with this time, but that's a long time
so
ago.
What about
27,
the Brits?
27.
What Brits have we got?
So in terms of Brits, just looking now, we've got Mohammed Adan from TVH. We've got the British team is Ben Connor, Nick Gulab, Jack Gray, Andrew Hayes and Adam Hickey. And I think we've got Chris Thompson will be there. Alice Cross from AFD. We've got a range of other ones. They're the main ones to pick out, I'd have said.
Well, I'll let you pick fastest man.
Fastest man? Yeah, I'm going to go with Kripa.
I was going to pick him. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with... who did you put that guy you said was... Came second last year.
Amudin from France.
Yeah, I'm going to go with him.
What's time? I'm going to say 27.33.
Okay, I'm going to do a Sean on you. I'm going to go 27.30.
Okay. 27.30.
And then
Brit, I'm going to go with Nick Gulab.
Ah, you mama dee! I'm going to get caramel. No. Okay, well, I'm going Tomo then.
Domo, okay. We have got an interesting interview with Nick Gulab. If you go back to our New Year show, a good chat with him. Really interesting stuff about how he's changed his mental approach to running. He's running so good. He's running really well. I think he was third to Mo and Andrew Butcher at the 10K down in London, the British. Is it Vitality 10K?
Yeah.
And it was a difficult race. It was lots of, you know, the pace was fluctuating. And he ran really well there. So I think he's probably pretty good. I'd say outside threat of Sondra Moen to perform pretty strongly. But yeah, I like it. Come on, Cripper. So that's our prediction contest. We are going to be speaking to a lot of the competitors out there on the course the day before and maybe the day after, probably bringing you some stories of how their preparation's gone.
So yeah, just message in your predictions, we could.
Yeah, do it. Tweet us in. Tweet us in any predictions you have, or obviously on our Facebook page.
And any fans there, we'll do selfies. We'll do selfies. As many as we can. Yeah?
Look out for us. We'll be out there. We'll hopefully be VIPs.
And we'll get Ronnie O'Sullivan's. Hey, you need to come over here and get some pictures of these people here.
Yeah. We'll sort you out. Don't you worry about that. So that'd be good. We're looking forward to that. But we should talk to Richard now. He's going to talk to us about his preparations for the night at 10,000 metres. On today's show, we are talking to the current European Cup champion and the double German cross-country champion and the current 10,000-metre champion, Richard Ringer. How you doing, Richard?
Hey, John. Thanks. I'm fine.
Good stuff. And then we mentioned off-air you're just at home training. Are you in a preparation period for the European Cup in a couple of weeks?
Yes, I had the competition on Saturday in Tübingen, the 5,000-metre. And yeah, it's a good preparation for the European Cup in London.
Yeah, how did you go in that race?
I got good pacemakers in Tübingen. For beating the world standard.
Okay. In
the September. So yeah, I think it's the feel is perfect.
Great. Yeah, for fantastic. Me. And how has your training gone so far?
Yeah, it's very good. Going well. I had a very late season opener on track at the Nationals 11 days before. Mm. I won the 10,000 meter German championships easily with 28:28. So yeah, just easy to roll in the season.
Yeah.
And yeah, before that race, I had my debut at the Berlin Half Marathon in April.
Yeah.
So you saw it's a bit different race schedule than the other years because, the World Championship is far off this season.
Yeah, okay.
So I plan a bit different, not going too early in the season.
Yeah. And have you spent any time at altitude or anything? Have you been on any training camps?
Yes. We tried also a new things with the national team. So this year I will go very often to the high altitude camps. Mm. It starts in November, December with a training camp in Kenya. And then I also was in Flagstaff in March, April and, in St. Moritz. I was 3 weeks from May until June. And yeah, also after the European Cup, I will go again to St. Moritz.
Oh, nice. So you're definitely getting used to the high altitude and the Swiss mountains.
Yes, because we only lived 2 hours away from St. Moritz, so that's very easily to drive there with a car.
Yeah.
So okay. Therefore I like it.
Yeah.
Flying.
Yeah. I noticed a lot because a lot of guys from I live in Amsterdam. And I follow a lot of the top Dutch guys on Instagram and things. I notice a lot of them go to St. Moritz. It seems to be for Europeans. For the Brits, the British runners all tend to go to Font-Romeu. That's their place they head to. But St. Moritz seems like a bit of a mecca of running for Europeans.
Yeah. And this year, there are more runners than else because Font-Romeu is closed, I think. And therefore, also the British runners will go to St. Moritz, like Mo Farah and Andy Butchard.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. There are a lot of runners then this year.
I wonder if the people of St. Moritz like recognize these people. They just think there's just loads of crazy running people. I wonder if they know how how big these runners are. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Swiss Sports Federation are very happy that all the runners come. And yeah, we had get. As a special offer, to train in the on the track or at the gym, and I think also for the normal people living there, it's good that we come because they have only like the winter, sports.
Yeah.
And then it's full, but then it's like it's not the season, and it's good that the tourism with the runners came there and bring the money.
lots of coffee, lots of lattes and things. Yeah, not much drink, but not much alcohol, but lots of lattes to sell.
Yeah.
European Cup's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
How important a race is the European Cup in your schedule?
Yeah, for me it's very important because I'm the defender of this race, and to start again in London means a lot of me, and because also the European Cup is in July. I think it's perfect because the World Champs is in the end of September, beginning of October.
Yeah.
So I have enough time to relax and do other races like 5Ks.
Yeah.
Or 3Ks to get more speed. And I think also London is a good place to run at in July because it's not as hot as in other countries.
A bit windy sometimes, but not hot.
And also, our national federation planned the 10,000 meter nationals 4 weeks before the European Cup. So after it was clear that it's in July, they changed the date and did it. Yeah, like that is 4 weeks before. That's good.
Is it hard though for you to peak for both events? So I know it's difficult to get yourself in your best condition. Is it hard to do it for July and then again for September? Is that a problem to you?
No, I don't think so. I think now I can be in a good shape on like on Saturday for Tübingen and then for the London, and then go back to training session and then be fit in September.
Yeah.
I think that's not the problem.
Yeah. And it was a fantastic victory last year. How did it feel? Because it's quite a different event to what people are used to running. Do you have anything like that in Germany, or have you experienced any other event similar to that in Europe?
Yeah, in Germany there's also sometimes such events where the crowd can step on lane four as it's in the European Cup. But I think there are not many people than in London because it's a big city, and therefore it's completely different if there are 100 or like 5,000 spectators around. So
and do you think the atmosphere there made like brought an extra level of performance out of you? Do you think it made you run faster on the night?
Yeah, I saw that the crowd was amazing there, cheering and whooping.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter which nation you were presenting. So the English spectators were very fair. But for sure, also the British athlete had a good race there last year. Andy Vernon, Chris Thompson, and most of all, the 20-year-old triathlete Alex Yee.
Had
heated up the atmosphere even more. So. Yeah. I think the atmosphere, not only from the spectators, also the fire flames and players on the field, and the live music with the drummers and DJs, and the two tents on the track gave me more energy to run fast. I could not hear into my body too much at the event because it was so loud, and it just looked to be in the leading group. So, that makes me, just focus.
And as a runner, are you someone do you like pressure? Do you like people to be there watching you? Are you someone that thrives on a challenge like that?
I think this format is what I love, because in athletics, running is just one discipline, but for special events, the runner is in the focus. So that's what we deserve for the hard work. Sometimes be only focus on the runners.
Fantastic. And what did you feel like when you were, did you think, because it was you and I can't remember the name of the French guy that you were neck and neck with to the final 100 meters, what were you thinking of coming into that final straight? What was running through your mind?
I think it begins like 3 or 4 laps before when I got to the front and make a very fast 200 or a lap with the 60 seconds, and then we only were the French guy and I. And I think he made the mistake that he passed me one lap before, and that was perfect.
Right.
He not increased a lot. So yeah, I can stay close behind and yeah, just giving all.
Yeah.
I know that it was a good time at the end, so I was happy with the second place, but yeah, to win this race was unbelievable.
Yeah. But now it's even harder. They always say it's harder to defend than it is to win for the first time. So yeah, everyone's got your name is in everyone's mind now. They're going to be watching you as they go around. Do you know if the same guy from France, is he also in the race again this year? Have you seen the French team?
Yes, I also talked with the coach and manager. He also want to compete and want the also fast race.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if it's possible to run faster than last year, but no. I think there are coming many other athletes to want the qualification standard for the world champs.
Yeah.
It's very hard. It's 27:40 this year.
Wow.
So, and only the French guy and I had it at the moment because it counted from last year.
Okay.
So, and I think that's the goal for the event that, yeah, some other runners can
get under
go
there.
For the world champs at the 10K there. Therefore, I think it will be also fast.
Yeah, fantastic. I wouldn't want to be the pacer in the first 5K for that. It'd be pretty quick.
Yeah, and last year it was amazing because the second pacer paced us, I think, till 8 kilometers.
Oh, so, really?
It was crazy.
Because yeah. I watched the Diamond League and the pacers step off after, I don't know, 2K, 1K, and it's terrible. You think you need support.
I don't, it's not good to organize, I think, and sometimes the runner did change what they want. So, let's do 27, and then, we want to go for 26:30, and then they go alone, and the pacers can't follow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And as obviously one of the strongest runners in Europe, do you get in a lot of invites to Diamond League? Because you watch the Diamond League, it does tend to be, 10, 12 Africans from different places. Do you get invites to race these big Diamond League races, or do you not really?
I'm not asked this year for Diamond League because, I start the season very late.
Okay.
I run twice in my career at the Diamond League, but, both was too fast at the first kilometer.
Yeah.
And I don't like it when it's too fast for the first kilometer because then I'm exhausted after like 2 or 3 kilometers.
Yeah.
And then, and then the result is bad. So I preferred a good organized meeting with clear structure from the pacers. And it's maybe more organized also with me.
Yeah.
Like in Germany now on Saturday in Tübingen.
Yeah.
And they ask me what I want. And then they have a smaller race also with Africans.
Yeah.
But then we increase the after 3K and normally the Diamond League. You decrease after 3K for very slow kilometers, and then you increase again in the 5. So, and I like a continuous pace, and therefore I search like for other races like Houston in the Netherlands, and in Belgium, Ortegem. It's a very nice meeting, and like Tübingen now, last year, and that's the smallest. I like more than the Diamond League.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking back to how you got into this sport in the beginning, like what was your introduction to athletics? How did you get the bug?
Yeah, I started in a 800 meter race in 1999 and got the third place. So because of this, unreal situation, I'd be in the podium for my first race and was doing nothing.
So no training at all.
I joined to an athletics club near my area, and then I competed very often when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like from 10 to 14 years old, I often ran like cross country meetings and road races with a serious character.
Yeah. Did you have the talent then? Were you winning national titles, or what was your kind of status then as a teenager?
Yeah, in 2006, I won my first national title. So with 17 years old, the 3000 meter.
Yeah.
That was also, a very, milestone in my career.
Yeah. And how is this the, I'm going to say the scene, what's it like in Germany? Is it a popular sport? Obviously, in the UK, there's lots of runners. We have quite a strong strength and depth, but it is still quite a small sport. What is running, competitive running, like in Germany?
Yeah, but yeah, we in Germany saw that in the UK, it's it's higher sports than in Germany.
Okay.
So I think in Germany it's more niche than in British.
Okay.
So of course, yeah, you know, the football is main focus in Germany.
Yeah.
So therefore, yeah, it's I think the marathon is that's very, very high popular in Germany.
Yeah.
Because it comes in the TV, the whole like 4 or 5 hours. Yeah. That's popular there, but not like the competitive track runners.
Okay.
That's not like what the people want to say.
So you weren't the most popular boy in school just because you ran track. That wasn't that kind of the US thing doesn't exist.
But yeah, I don't think it was so interesting for the people that I do, like, yeah, this sport.
And what's it like in terms of your national governing body? Have they been good to support you through your career?
Nah, I think the most supportive was the family.
Okay.
So yeah. I think it will change in the future a bit. With our sport aid, they're getting more money from the policy.
Yeah.
So I think that it's very important to grow the athletics and also like the other sports instead of football. So I think they're going in the right direction. But for me, it's like, yeah, the first year with now 30 years old that I'm very satisfied with my sport income.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, normally I go to Dubourg the last years. So it's, yeah, the first year I can concentrate on sports. And yeah, with 30 years old, it's a lot of time.
It's like a whole, it's 14, 15 years of hard effort every week for finally be able to, it's a strange sport like that. There's no money really in it. You can't really. It's very difficult to make a living and support yourself. Very hard.
Yeah, that's completely true. Yeah.
Yeah. So, how long do you see yourself in it then? Have you got ambitions beyond these years? What do you want to do in your running career?
Something in my mind after the Olympics. So I want to go in Tokyo for the 5,000 meters on the track, and then I will change to road races, to marathon.
Yeah.
And my main goal is, to start in Paris 2024 for a marathon Olympics to end there my career. So because I saw it in Rio de Janeiro in the Olympics, the marathon finish. And yeah, it means a lot to sort it and motivate me to, then to change after a long time on tracks. Looking to watch each lap just going for the longest distance, 42 kilometers.
Yeah.
And try there my best. Because when you get older and older, then sometimes you think you also want to go longer and longer.
Yeah. And actually the marathon might be a distance where the longer it goes, I guess the more chance the Europeans have, because if the race goes certain ways, then it become more tactical. So there's chances for maybe medals. 10,000 is harder, I think, maybe on the track, but maybe marathon might be a chance for an outside chance.
Yeah, I think you have chance at the 5,000 meter and then and the marathon again, but the 10,000 is, it's amazing what the runners do there. They're playing with the field, with speed and reduce and all these under 27 minutes. I think it's impossible for us at the moment.
Yeah.
But 5,000 is very technical, only like the last kilometer is very fast. And in the marathon, it's also the weather conditions.
Yeah.
Many Africans dropped out at Olympics or World Champs at the marathon. And you saw Colm Hawkins in London, the World Championship was the fourth place. It was very close to a medal.
Yeah.
So I think, that could be a good chance for the European athletes. to
sneak,
be competitive.
Yeah. And thinking of 10,000 meter, how would you describe like your approach to it? Do you, and in terms of maybe from tactically, but also like your training, are you focused? What race are you doing at Doha actually?
I want the favorite distance in Doha for me is the 5,000 meters. Okay. So okay. I don't want to run the 10,000 because I think it's the competitive event on the whole all disciplines.
But in terms of then your training
more the tactical.
Okay.
My training is like normally I had a basic approach. Do my long reps, have a moderate speed in winter, and then the progress throughout base phase. And then I usually start on dirt roads and foot tracks, and then change to track the workouts very late.
So you don't do lots of workouts really on the track throughout the year?
In the winter not, because I think it's also better for the body to stay healthy, because it's hard when you have your body's more exhausted at a track, I think, than on dirt roads.
And are you someone that is a high mileage runner? Do you run? Are you quite a goes and does lots and lots of miles or kind of what's your style?
I prefer more more miles.
Yeah.
And then reduce the miles in the summer season and go to more speed training.
Okay.
But it's like, it's an average of like 90 miles a week. Okay.
So it's not crazy. It's, like you hear some people running, 125, sort of 200 kilometers a week. It's not crazy high, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. So sometimes in a training camp, I have like 120 miles in British. Yeah. But the average for like the whole year is like, it's 140, 150 kilometers.
Okay.
It's like, 90 miles, I think. But I heard also from other athletes that they train a bit lesser from 5K runners. So clear for 10,000 or marathon runners, they run, normally much, much more kilometers.
Yeah.
But it's the speed training. Yeah. And the sprint training also. And when you go to the gym, you can't go for so long distances in the training because it's also exhausted you and you need more the speed than the kilometers, the miles.
Yeah, and can you give us one of your favorite sessions for 10,000 meters? What would you say is your like they say killer session, or your favorite, your one that hurt that's the most difficult, or the one you like the most?
I like the program 1K fast and 1K moderate fast. It's like it's almost a 10K pace for the 1 kilometer fast, and then like 20% fewer speed on the recoveries. Like it means like maybe like between 2:45 to 2:50 for the fast kilometer, and then like 3:20 for the recovery.
Okay.
And like this eight times like this.
Yeah.
It's very good workout. And then you can change it. If you want to go a little bit faster, then you can reduce the recoveries a bit. If you do like a bit faster.
Less than 3:20.
Or you can also you can do like only 800 meter fast and then 800 meter moderate, so you can change it a lot with the program. I like this a lot because you are not like waiting 3 minutes or 90 seconds if you start again and standing still. You're just moving, so that's what I like. For long distance.
Great. I was doing the same thing for marathon. I was doing a 1K on at marathon pace, 1K. So I really
I think you can do like more like I did a session for the half marathons, like 5 times 3K, 1K easy or the moderate fast. So you can change it like also like 7 times 3K and for the marathon and 1K easy. So that's what the marathon runners do. And yeah, it's good that I train it for the 10,000 also with, different training styles. So
It was funny actually that for a while, this is going on a different road, but when the British distance running went down, like the standards went down, and there was someone said something about how they'd started doing too many intervals and not enough continuous running. So this session fits in with that kind of continuous running thing. But there was people doing sort of Seb Coe was brilliant because he did lots of very fast intervals and that was what he made him great. And then too many British runners did the same thing and everyone was running these intervals with lots of rest and in the end no one knew how to keep going, to keep keep pushing. So that kind of session is good because it mirrors the challenge of a race, I guess.
Yeah, I think every runner must find the way how he can perform well from the training.
Yeah.
So you test a lot in your career and then you find out what's the best way for your body. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Be competitive.
Excellent. Well, I shouldn't keep you too much longer. We've got three quick questions we asked to all the people we interview. And they are, if you could be anywhere running now, where would it be?
Yeah, for me, it's just running in a nice forest at a dirty road with the running group. So really? I think, that's the best thing. It doesn't matter if it's in America, New Zealand or Switzerland. Yeah, just in a nice place with a cool group.
Yeah. So the people are the most important thing.
Yeah, that's great. True.
Second one is recommend us something. So it could be either a book you've read, film that you find inspiring, or something you think that our listeners should try.
I would say as a runner, just go out for a run in the nature.
Yeah.
Not going into the city, going at a quiet area.
Yeah.
And here in the nature, hear the birds, just enjoy this. That.
Get rid of your headphones. Stop listening to podcasts.
Yes. I hate it, so I don't run with music.
Okay, right.
So just hearing into my body and hearing the nature and feeling the wind and the sun on the skin. Like it's nice.
Yeah, lovely. And our third question is, in your opinion, what's the greatest endurance performance of all time?
Yeah, I'm a bit of different. I'm not watching exactly the time from 800 or marathon. I find, the Tara Umara running.
Oh, yeah.
It's the natural form of running. It's the longest running form. So I think that's amazing what these people do.
Yeah.
So running 100 to 500 kilometers.
Wow,
that's amazing.
This is the guy in the Born to Run book. Single
endurance, because it's so long.
Yeah, that is the guy from the guys in the Born to Run book. Is that right? The Tarama? That's the same.
Yeah,
type. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm currently. This is going again on a strange road, but I've been doing lots of treadmill running at the moment because I'm training for a mountain race. Living in Amsterdam, it's quite strange, but I've been watching old athletics videos, and one I was watching was amazing. Was the Dieter Baumann victory? Was it in the World Championships or the Olympics when he won? Is he an inspiration to you over there in Germany? Is he a star in German distance running?
Yeah, I think so, because it's Olympic champion in 1992.
Yeah.
Sometimes I saw him, at the competition, because also his kids are doing athletics. Ah. Jackie Baumann is a 400 meter hurdles runner, and Robert Baumann, the son, is a 3000 steeplechase runner. Ah. And so you saw them and can speak with them. I like to speak with such success people, and they motivate to the record and to train, and each time when he saw me, he said, when you break my records the 5 or 10,000 and it's very nice.
Keep going. Well, good luck. We want you to break it. That'll be inspiring to me. I'll watch it. If you break it, I'll watch it on my treadmill and get inspired by that. But hey,
and good. Yeah, so I think that the record is you can't plan the record for the national record. But yeah, you know, at the European Cup, also the Murat Amdouni, my French friend, the national record in France is almost the same as in Germany. So when we can go, then we go for that.
You heard it here first. Two national records up in London. Let's see it happen. Fantastic. Excellent. Well, I better let you go for training. It's I'm holding you up. But enjoy your run today and good luck for your last preparation.
Thanks for my love.
Great interview there, Richard. We're looking forward to seeing the action, seeing him run on Saturday night. If you are there, like we said, get over and give us a shout.
We
should say we had a donation.
Oh, what?
We had a £5 donation. I've got to buy you, mate. I've given him a coffee. I've got to buy him a coffee.
I want my 25 pence to that, you know.
So we got a £5 donation from Mark Sue. So thanks for that, Mark.
Oh, we love you. We love you. Yeah,
that was really kind of you.
We need nice that because me and Sean, you know, we can't scrimp and scrape it.
Yeah. I'm staying in hotels. It's not fun. I need to run a proper house. So, yeah, no, I'm just joking. But, yeah, sort of, it's really nice of you guys fancy giving us a donation that helps keep the podcast going and running, as do reviews. We can't check them out tonight. We are going to let you know next week if we have any more, but
and subscribe.
Love,
we need, if you subscribe, obviously that helps massively.
Yeah So you keep getting the podcast each and every week, and that's really cool. Join in. Thanks, everybody.
See you the weekend.
See you then. See you the weekend. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Parliament Hill. Get down there. Parliament from about 2 o'clock. There's a Q&A, I've got to say, of not Ailish, because she's running, but her mum, Liz, McCall, world champion. She's there. Andy Vernon's doing a Q&A. There'll be loads of good action there to watch, some good racing. I mean, like we say, the C race will be like one of the best races in the UK. So get down there and check it out. Nice one.
Cool.
Bye-bye.
See ya.